Do you know God is so good? He is good. And I just really felt to start off, we just honor the presence of God. You know, we can take His presence for granted. We can be a people that just laid back, take things for granted. You know why? Because we know God's in our corner. But there's something about the reverential fear of the Lord, honoring the presence of God. And He is here. You know, His word says when two or three are gathered in His name, He is here in the midst of us. Do you believe that this morning He is here? And if He is here, then let our hearts be in worship to Him this morning. Let our hearts be in awe of Him. You know, we can take the miracles and the provisions of God for granted. You know, when you see the word awesome, it's to be in awe. How many here are still in awe of what God does and who He is? We can say we are, but really, are we? You know, I've got a saying, I like to say most awesomest God, because I just don't want to stop at awesome. I want to give Him the highest praise, the highest accolades. You know, we often hear, like, I mean, we are guilty of it too. We are a sports crazy family. The girls maybe not as much, but they have their moments with the Ashes coming up. But, you know, we scream the loudest when our team does the best. But God is the best. So let's give Him our best. So let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your sweet, sweet presence. We thank You, Lord, for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, that we are not a people who want to take the gift of salvation for granted. God, You have saved us. You have made us Your very own. We are so grateful, Father. And Lord, You did not just stop with Jesus, but You gave us the gift of Holy Spirit. And we are so thankful for the Spirit of God that is here in our midst this morning. Lord, would You just flow? Would You just flow in this place? Thank You, Lord. You know that song we sang just now, Like a Flood, Like a Flood, even before, I've not heard that song before, but just before that part of the song came up, I saw a picture of, a river that flows, but when there's debris, when there's logs, or when there's leaves and things, and it clogs up the flow of the river. And I just saw the Spirit of the Lord just as a mighty rushing gush of water that came in from behind, and I saw this all break free. And then the river of God just flowing. And then that, just straight as I saw that picture, then the words, what is it? Like a flood. Your love comes in like a flood. Yeah, like a flood. And this is the presence of God in this place. You know, I can say all the nice words here this morning, but if you do not mix faith with it, it profits you nothing. You have to mix faith when God releases a word. So I don't mind if you want to shout amen, hallelujah. You want to stand on your feet and cheer God. That's fine by me. I love it. You know why? Because when you add your yes and amen to the words of God, it says, let it be done. Let it be done. You're telling God, let it be done. So I'm declaring to you this morning, the Spirit of God is here and He wants to come in like a flood. Like a flood. You know, never before in this last 1 year, actually from the start of the year, that I have come across people of faith that are battling with depression. I have never met, and these are close friends, people whom I am close to are battling with it. It's not just random people I'm meeting or strangers. And I'm hearing it from all walks of life. I'm hearing it from young people, 19, 20-year-olds, to, you know, to older people. You know, when it says God is no respecter of persons, I can tell you the devil does not. You know, your age is not a thing for him. It doesn't stand in his way to want to destroy what God wants to do in your life. And so I just felt this morning, can we just have the keys up a little bit more? And thank you, Ben, but I'll have the keys playing for a bit. I just really felt, even during the service, the worship, that I just want to, you know, when Jesus said, Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and He has anointed me to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to bring sight to the blind. And I feel that same anointing here this morning to set the captives free. So if there's any of you that is struggling with depression, and there's no shame to admit that I'm in a rut and I just can't find my way out of it. There's no shame to admit that I need prayer. I need the supernatural acts of God right now. So if you feel like you are in a rut, in a place of just struggling, like you can't break free. You know, sometimes, I've gone through it too, there are days when you just don't feel like wanting to do anything. But who here knows you've got to praise your way out of it? But there are times when we need people to pray for us. So I'm going to release that anointing upon you to break those chains off of you. So if that's you, can I ask you to please stand up to your feet? If you feel like you're in a rut, in a place of just, you know what, I just don't know. Is there anyone here? No? I'll just pray anyway. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that Spirit of God, the anointing breaks the yoke. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the anointing of God. You are the power of God. And right now, Father, I pray, Lord, that that power is made manifest in this place. Lord, I just right now declare chains to be broken off. Lord, people's thoughts, Lord, that have been bound by the enemy right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare freedom. Lord, I just thank you, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, right now, I just want to just release people to walk in that freedom, in the full freedom of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. There's someone here, I just sense that you are at a crossroad, a moment of indecision, like an intersection, and you just don't know which way to turn. You're not sure, but I'm just here to tell you this morning, Holy Spirit is just showing me, there might be more than one person, I don't know, that as you wait on Him, then the key is waiting on Him. Don't run ahead of Him. He will light that clear path for you. He will make His way known to you. But the key is to wait, because in the waiting, that's when faith is built. And I see that the journey ahead for you is one of even bigger things than what you thought of for yourself, even more than what you anticipated. I just see that set up before you, but the key is to wait on Him to show you the right path to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're all good? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Clear perspective. You know, my daughter said, Mom, you can put, I need glasses now to read, by the way, to make it clear. Like, I don't know, has anyone here got astigmatism? Like, the words, yeah, you understand what I can't explain it to my kids because they don't understand. It's like you just can't see the words clearly. Like, there's a shadowing to the words, okay? So when I put my glasses on, it just becomes clear. So, yes, so this is me now. Today, you know, it's funny, when God gives me a message for a church or for a group or whatever, He confirms it again and again. And I had this verse confirmed so many times over the last few weeks. In fact, I was in my own church, you know, worshiping when I just saw the words to this scripture verse that I want to bring in. You can put it up now. Who here knows this verse by heart, by memory? Come on. Have you got a plaque of it in your home somewhere? Come on. I think this is one of the most quoted scriptures from the Bible. Yes? If I walk into Coorong, you'll see 10 different plaques made up with this scripture verse. In fact, one of my kids has got this as a prophetic word given to her. So very common, if I can put it that way. But God's word is not common. He speaks to us from His word. So I had this verse come up as a word reel. I don't know whether anyone has had that ever before, where the scripture verse sort of plays across your mind as you're worshiping. And I knew it was for this church. I just knew. And it was like, as I got the scripture verse, I was like, I just felt this sense of peace. For I know the plans and thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You guys are very quiet this morning. Make some noise. So many of us can quote it, right? If I was to remove this, would you be able to re-quote this back to me? I'm sure you would. But this morning, I just felt like Father wants to bring a recalibration of this truth. Do you know what recalibrate means? Are there mechanics here? There? Calibrate. It means to adjust or mark something so that it can be used in an accurate and an exact way. To measure something in an exact and precise way. So to recalibrate means to bring back or to adjust back to a previously determined mark or measurement. You know, can I encourage you to look again at the scripture verse? What stands out to you? Come on, volunteers. What stands out to you? Future and a hope. What else? Sorry? Peace. Plans, thoughts. Okay. So we all have different things standing out to us, right? Let me give you God's perspective. Because I feel like this is His perspective. Can I have the next? For I know. This is God's word for you this morning. For I know. It's not so much the fact that He has plans and thoughts for you. He does. And it's not so much that those plans bring peace and they bring hope. And they bring a future. But the key here is He knows. He knows. This is the recalibration. This is the clear perspective that God wants to bring to you. He knows. Are we ready for this perspective shift? You know, I thought about our life. And I see it. You know, I don't know. I love puzzles. Just the cover. Who loves puzzles? I love doing them. I tried doing this and got frustrated last night. I'll just pack it away. This is how God sees our lives. He sees the big picture. He has the big picture for you. But let me tell you, He doesn't give you this. He doesn't. What He does give you are these. Not that we can put it together. That's still His responsibility. But He gives you snippets. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. This is what God gives. You know why? Because if He gives you the big picture, you'd run away scared. You'd give up even before you started the journey. But he's a good God. He's good, good Father. He gives a little at a time. That is what the prophetic is. Whether God gives you prophecies through dreams or visions or words or scripture verses, whichever way he chooses to speak to you, he does it by pieces. It's an unveiling. Whew! And then he closes. You know, he gives you a glimpse into your future of the possibilities that you have in him. Amen. If you think that your dream or your vision has been fulfilled, let me tell you to think again. It's just one level. You know, we see a picture very, you know, like, but God sees different dimensions to your life that we don't even have a grasp of today. There's still more. There's still more. So when we look at the scripture verse, can we go back to the scripture verse? Okay, so we have assurances from this scripture verse, right? That you can set as concrete. You know what setting in concrete means? Immovable. Doesn't move. Non-negotiables. So the first non-negotiable is God does have plans for your life. And I'm here to assure you this morning, he does have a plan for your life. In fact, the verse there says not just singular, a plan, but he has plans and thoughts. Plural, many. In fact, there's another scripture verse says that how immeasurable are your thoughts toward me, O God. We can't measure it. Isn't that exciting? You don't look excited. Isn't that exciting? God has plans for your life that you haven't even begun to scratch the surface of. Really, if you want to know, press in. Because he wants to reveal. But how much are we willing to run with him? So nothing God does, you are not here by mistake. God does have plans for your life. He knows your end from your very beginning. Even before you were formed, the Bible says he knew you. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God has planned out your life for you. Isn't that assuring? That nothing happens without God allowing it. Do you know sometimes what we think as hiccups or detours or whatever, it doesn't take God by surprise. He knows it. You know, we moved here 13 years ago from Perth. We couldn't see why we were moving here. We left our family all behind. It was almost like an Abrahamic call that God gave us. Leave everything and go to a country, like literally a state that we weren't, you know, we were strangers here. But we can see why it happened. We see his hand today. We see things have happened in our lives. God maneuvered it. He knows the plans. And he just doesn't know your plans. The plans he has for you brings hope and peace. Amen? So you are not to go about aimlessly wondering, oh, what's happening, what's happening? But there is hope. There is a future attached to his plans. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's mind plans his way as he journeys through life, but the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. You may think you have control over your life, but you don't. You don't. God is in control. So he not only has plans for you, and there's not just those plans bring a future and a hope, but like I said, the perspective shift is that he knows those plans. And this is where we can draw strength from. This is the place of rest for us. We don't have to strive to make things happen. You know, it's like a master builder. who knows the plans of a house. We have confidence that the house is going to be built. And I want to say to you that this house, God is in control here. And you have full assurance that He is the master builder, master craftsman here. And He is the one who will build this church. He will build this church. He has the finished plans for this church. They are in His hands. He knows. He knows. You know, my kids, when they get in the car with me in the mornings to go to school, and they always tell me, "Mom, you're the only one we trust to get us to school on time." So when they get into the car, do they trust that I will get them there? Yes. They have full assurance that no matter what, Mom's going to get me to school or to cricket practice or to church or wherever it is. Why? Because that's my part. I'm there to drive them. Their part is to sit, buckle up, and pray that we get there in one piece. Do you understand what I'm trying to draw here? God is in control. So when we get into the seat with Him, in the car, so to speak, we have full assurance that He knows the direction to take, how fast to go, where to turn off, and He's going to get us there ultimately. The path is His. Our part is to sit with Him. Yes? So our trust and hope is not placed in plans, but in the one who has those plans in His hands. So our trust and hope is not placed in the outcome, but in the one who holds the outcome, who has planned it in the beginning anyway. Let me just read you very quickly a couple of scripture verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful and absolutely trustworthy is He who is calling you to Himself for your salvation, and He will do it. He will do it. He will fulfill His call by making you holy, guarding you, watching over you, and protecting you as His own. He will do it. Isaiah 55:10-11, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bare and sprout and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God has a purpose for watering the earth. The scripture says. And that purpose is not a useless purpose. So He said, so it's the same with the word that goes out of my mouth. It will accomplish what I set it out to do. It will. If God has declared things over this church and over your lives as individuals, guess what? It will be accomplished. But let me stress here, timing is the Lord's. Timing is the Lord's. There is a season. If you think you can help God in seeing your dream fulfilled, think again. Again, God says, think again. You know, when God gives a vision or a dream, it's for an appointed time. You know, Habakkuk tells us, write it down. For yet it is for an appointed time. It's yet for a time to come. That means God has specified a time for that word to be fulfilled. Remember, trusting God because He sees the big picture. It's funny, isn't it? Abraham and Sarah, ran ahead of God's timing. And what was produced? Ishmael. That later on became a thorn in God's people. The generations to come, because they thought they could help God in fulfilling the vision. But let us be a people who wait on Him for our Isaacs. Do you know what the word Isaac, the name, means in Hebrew? It literally means He will laugh, He will rejoice. Isn't there joy that comes when there's a fulfilling of God's word? And then we can rejoice because we waited for that appointed time, that Kairos moment, the moment when God ordained, yes, now it's fulfilled. Then Isaac is produced. Joy. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. There is no sorrow when God does things His way, His time. Jesse, I don't know why, I just keep, every time I'm here, I've just got to release something over your life, but I don't know, I feel like you're being you're in a season of discouragement, or maybe a season of just not sure, like, you know, a little bit up there kind of a thing. But I want to tell you that God has your tomorrows in His hands. All your tomorrows. And I feel for you, this is a season of preparation. That there is a fulfilling of, and it's almost like there's been a word that's been released over your life and you're still waiting for it to be fulfilled. It's like the timing of God. God, when? But I feel like for you, it's this waiting in faith, that waiting on God for that perfect moment when He releases you, that Kairos moment. And I want to say that when that comes, there will be joy. There will be rejoicing. And you will see, you know, like the puzzle, you will see the pieces that have been your life so far. You will see how they've all sort of linked together. And then you can sort of see, oh, yeah, now I understand why that had to happen, or that had to happen, or, you know, and even your one, is it 1 year at Bethel, when you went for 1 year, like you can just see it all, why did it happen the way it happened? But, you know, just, it's a season of preparation for you, and I can just see God releasing you into more. But assurance today is that He's got your tomorrows. You know, it's funny, we attended a concert during the week. Not my choice. I wouldn't have paid the money to go and watch this concert. It was a work function, and, you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Bit weird. You know, I was sitting in Rod Laver Arena, and we usually, Planet Shakers Church has their conference in Hisense Arena, so it's pretty set up, pretty much the same inside, and I was like, looking around while the concert's going on, I'm looking at people looking around, and I'm like, you know, I started just declaring that this place will be a place of revival, and there will be revival meetings, and, you know, I was just like, just standing in the gap while I was there. I said, Lord, I might as well be useful while I'm here. I'm not really listening to the songs. But, you know, it's funny how God speaks anytime, anywhere, and He began to speak to me, you know, because I was also thinking about bringing this word, and, you know, I chew on the cud when I bring a message, so I'm like constantly thinking about it. So I let God speak to me anytime, anywhere. So He spoke to me during a rock concert, and this singer stood up, and, you know, she, and it's not wrong what she said, all right? I mean, she was trying to encourage, especially women, and, you know, because her being a woman, and she was saying, don't let people say you can't pursue two dreams, and, you know, but the thing is, she kept saying, pursue your dreams, follow your dreams. And I was like, you know, I was listening to her. And then it was as if God just said, see, that's how the world sees this. That we got to make the effort to pursue our dreams, to follow our dreams. But, you know, and I'm a firm believer of dreams and visions. Like, I mean, like, if I could write a book, my first book, I think I would love to write on dreams and visions, you know, like God just speaking that word that will see, you know, and I've seen that come to pass in my life. 22 years it took for me to step into the dream God gave me of preaching and teaching His word. 22 years. But I'm so glad that I waited, because I think if I had done it way back then, I would have been a basket case today. Now, I wouldn't have been filled. You know, when I step out and minister now, I just sense such a freedom to do it. I can feel His grace all over it. I don't have to strive and struggle to do it. But I think if I had stepped out way, way back then, it would have been a different story. The doors would not have opened. Remember producing an Ishmael? I think I would have produced an Ishmael. So I'm a firm believer in dreams and visions, okay? I mean, like, every time I get a word or a vision or whatever, I write it down. And the Bible also says, like I said just now, write it down, that those who read it may run with it. But you see, the world says run to your dream, to your vision. You pursue it. But God says, when He gives you a dream or a vision, it's to arm you to run with it. Do you see the difference? Those are the weapons God gives you that you can stand and use those prophetic words, use those dreams, use those visions to fight the enemy when discouragement comes in. So you don't run to your dreams, you run with it. You run the race God has appointed for you, armed with those dreams and those visions. Do you see the difference? So you know why God does that? So that you actually become the message rather than just proclaiming it. He doesn't want proclaimers. He wants people who are the message, so that when you walk into a place, people say, oh, there's something about that person. What is it? What is it? You don't have to necessarily say a word. But because your life is so filled with the Spirit of God, you become the message. You know, Isaiah, my youngest, I don't know, have I ever said here, he has a dream. He had a dream at the age of 3 or 4 to play cricket for Australia. And this was a little boy who used to sleep with his cricket bat and cricket ball. And he used to go to the shops. He had no embarrassment. He would wear, you know, those white brimmed hats, you know, the cricketers wear the white hats. He wore that walking in the shops for a few months until he outgrew that hat. No embarrassment, none whatsoever. I wish we could stay like that instead of growing up and, you know, becoming these people that, you know, where we become ashamed to proclaim who God is for us. But anyway, you know, so, and we keep on Him because He declared it. He actually remembers till today how we used to use our lounge room as a cricket pitch. So he had this plastic bat and ball, and he used to bat, you know, his father would bowl and he'd bat. And he stopped and he looked at both of us, and I was cooking in the kitchen, and he said, oh, God gave me a dream. I'm going to play cricket for Australia. We were like, what? This came out of the blue, 4-year-old boy. I mean, which 4-year-old, you know, usually comes up with things like that? And he can remember the detail of what was told, when it happened. That tells me that's a dream from God. The fact that he can remember details. He has got a part to play. I'm not saying that he just sits back. Yeah, it's going to happen. There's a part that we play. You know, when God called me into the prophetic, I didn't just sit back and say, you know what? God's called me to be a prophet. I'm just going to sit back. One day it's going to happen. No, I had to exercise the gift. I had to grow the gift. I had to grow my faith. I had to intercede. I had to stand in the gap. I had to allow God to use me in embarrassing. You know, sometimes when you have to step out like to strangers and give a word, it's a little bit out there kind of a thing. You know, especially one who doesn't like public speaking. And you know, when God calls you into that ministry, it's a little bit, you know, of a stretch. So it's the same with him. There's things he's got to do now that will set him up for when God fulfills that word. Training, discipline, what he eats, exercise. The word says, show yourself approved, a worker. We work. God has called us, yes. But you know, we have a part, a responsibility as well. God's part is he knows. He will bring it to pass. Our part is we prepare for it. Can I tell you, church, you are in preparation stage. This is the word, part of what God wants to release here is you are in preparation stage. So in this concert, when God started speaking to me about dreams, and then again, a scripture verse, you know, like just suddenly a scene. You know, when Jesus passed Peter and Andrew, when he first saw them, what did he say to them? Follow me, and I will make you. Yeah, okay, they became fishers of men. They became, you know, people. That was not the important part of that scripture verse. The part that really stood out was, follow me, and I will make you. So what is it God has put on your heart? What are you to become for him? Follow him, and he will make you. Isaiah is not going to become a cricket player for Australia unless he first follows God. Then he will make him. This is the recalibration again, for he knows. So if he knows, then guess what? We follow the one who knows. We seek him first. The world's way is go follow your dreams, run after them, make them happen. No, we don't have to make it happen. We just follow the one who is going to make it happen. You know, this truth I've been drilling even to my son, because I'm trying to give him a perspective shift, a clear perspective of his life in Christ Jesus, because he's going to go into an arena that he can be, you know, it's not an easy, what God's going to release him, it's not an easy thing, because there will be temptations. There will be the pull of the world, do it the world's way. But what I'm really trying to drill into him is, yes, he does the training, he does the exercise. You know, we'll keep talking into his life. We'll keep pushing him into that direction as long as he wants us to. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added to you. Because if he lays the right foundation now, it's going to hold him in good stead when he steps out. And it's the same for each one of us. Laying the right foundation, having the right perspective. Can we have the glasses back up again? Having clarity. So do you put your hope in the plans and the thoughts and the peace and the hope that God promises to release? Or do you put it firmly in the one who knows? Amen. Amen. So what I have shared here is essential to keep in focus for what God wants to release in this church. Putting this front and center, the right perspective, the clear perspective. The book of Ecclesiastes tells me, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a season, a time. God has ordained for every purpose. Like I said just now, you as a church are now in a season of preparation. You are in a season of transitioning from a great to a greater season. You are in a season of transformation to carry and become the greater. Can we just have the picture of the great? But through transformation, greater. Yes, agreed? So this is where you are being transformed to carry the greater and to become the greater. Next one. But can I just encourage you? The season of transformation and to become the greater actually happens at this stage. The chrysalis for the butterfly. It's a dark place. A place of apparent inactivity. We don't see anything happening on the outside, do we? Do we know what's happening on the inside? But scientists say there's a lot that happens inside that shell. Complete transformation is taking place. The chrysalis is not a resting stage as we think. It is not. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not taking place on the inside. A lot is taking place. Do you realize when a butterfly emerges, it doesn't emerge as a baby butterfly? It's full grown, adult. It doesn't become this tiny butterfly that has to grow outside of the cocoon to become an adult. Isn't that exciting when God does a transformation? It's straight into what He wants you to become. That you don't have to go through stages once you emerge from this place of inactivity. What you think is inactivity. Think about Joseph. To become the man that God needed him to become, to carry that vision, to become that dream, had to take place in a dungeon. In the darkest place, the dingiest place possible. But God was busy transforming him even in that place. So that when he emerged, he stepped fully into what God called him to become. A redeemer for the nation of Israel. A deliverer for the nation of Israel. Church is now in the season of preparation for the greater. There has been trimming, cutting away, and lately it has felt like nothing is happening, but I want to declare here and now that something is taking place. Something. God is doing something in your midst. God is shaping and making and transforming this church to carry the greater, to carry His anointing and His presence for the greater. Do you believe that? Do you believe God is preparing you for something greater? It may not look like that in the natural. I mean, you may look around and go, you know what? We don't see it. But let me assure you, let me encourage you to see with the eyes of faith. God is doing something in your midst. And, you know, oftentimes when He does it, it sometimes looks like you're going in the opposite direction. But there is a purpose. He's preparing you for the greater. And I just want to invite, if there's any elders here now in the church, to just come and stand in proxy for the church. I just, you know, if Pastor Ted and Pastor Solway were here, I'd ask them to do it. But because they're not... So we can just have the elders maybe just standing. I know some are missing in action, but... All right, why don't we just raise... They're standing in proxy means they're standing on your behalf. So let's be invested. All right, let's just raise our hands to them. Father, we just thank You. Father, that even as these ones stand in proxy, Lord, for this church, oh God, that you have planted here for this season, Lord, for this time, Lord, we just pray right now for a supernatural grace to be released. I see a dispensation of supernatural grace being released for this season. Lord, that even as you're preparing them and you're making them and you're transforming them, Father, right now, we just thank you, Lord, that this church is going to carry the presence and the anointing for the greater. Lord, we just pray right now for that Kairos moment, Lord, to be released upon this church. Lord, that perfect timing of God. Father, we don't want to run ahead of you, Father. We don't want to even to lag behind, Father, but we want to be in that perfect will of God. So, Father, right now, I just release, Lord, that clear perspective over this church, over its people, Lord. Over, Lord, even the families, Lord, represented here, a clear perspective of who God is and what he wants for this church. Lord, you alone know it. You alone have authored, Lord. You know the end from the beginning. Father, even as this church was laid, Lord, the foundations have been laid. Father, you know, you have been the master builder, Father. Crafting and making, Lord. So, Father, I just pray right now, I release peace over this church. I release hope, Lord. Hope in you. I resurrect right now. I thank you for the resurrection power of Holy Spirit, Lord, for hope to be resurrected in the name of Jesus. I speak new life into this church, Lord. Lord, even as we saw the picture, Lord, the chrysalis, it appears to be dead, Lord. It appears to be nothing happening. But right now, Father, I just thank you, new life is being formed, Lord. Lord, even when we don't see it, Lord, a beginning, Lord, of something new that you are going to release. We just thank you. Lord, that even the butterfly coming out of the chrysalis, Lord, that there is moments of struggling, Lord, and really trying to push through, to break free from this shell. Father, we thank you that even in that struggling, Lord, there is a purpose, Lord, because for the butterfly to fly, it needs to struggle. It needs to break free. It needs to come out of that shell. So, Father, we just thank you for that grace that you're releasing, Father, that even, Lord, where there has been struggle, Lord, where there has been striving, Lord, Father, that there is a purpose for it, for that strengthening of God for the next season, that strengthening, Lord, for the greater, that strengthening, Lord, to carry, Lord, a fresh perspective of the vision that you've given this church, Father. We just thank you, Lord, there is another layer being added. Another layer being added. We just thank you. Thank you right now, Father. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for everyone here that have had hopes and dreams and visions given to them in time past, Father, but they are yet to step fully into it. Yeah, Lord, we just come against despondency right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that your timing is perfect. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that in the waiting there is hope. Because our hope is not anchored in the outcome, Lord, but our hope is you. Our hope is you. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. You are our anchor. You are our anchor, Lord. And you know the right moment, Lord, to drop anchor, to raise it up, Lord, for the sails to go, Lord, and when to drop the sails, Father, you know, Lord, that as a ship, Lord, just voyages, Lord, across the seas, Father, I just see even as it breaks through the waves, Father, you know what needs to be done to cause this ship to keep moving forward. So I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up the people, Lord, that would man the ship. Lord, that would be the ones, Lord, that do the work of what needs to be done to make this ship go forward, Lord. We just thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Wow. That was amazing. I really felt that, you can really feel that there's a momentum. There's a momentum in the house. But personally, I feel that, we are in the mode of readiness to be able to be used by God anytime, anywhere. Yeah? I mean, look, we're not looking by our own eyes. We're looking at a clear perspective, which is God's eye. He has the bird's eye view, not us. So keep that faith. Keep that momentum, believing and trusting Him that He will do something supernatural in your life. Amen? All right, we really want to bless. We are in the mode of always being blessing. So we want to bless David McCracken's ministries. Who feel that the Lord has actually speaking to you? Raise your hands up. There you go. God is actually speaking to me. The moment I saw the cocoon, that was the revelations about the butterfly. I thought the butterfly would grow like from a tiny baby butterfly to a big butterfly. We are in the mode of preparations. Yeah? And we want to sow in the ministry. This is the word from God. So let's be generous and let's sow and bless the ministry of God. If you need an envelope, you can raise your hands. One of our ushers is going to pass it to you. Just give a bit of time. Fantastic. Okay, let us rise and we're going to sing a song. Yeah? Fantastic.
We just want to receive the word that we've received today. Let's sing, "We Receive."
We receive.